Hey there, welcome to This Truth Talk. My name is Jessica Hoddle and I'm your host. This is where we have real, raw, and honest conversations about life. Today's topic is about learning to love your body. Before we get started though, I wanted to share with you an amazing new resource that I created just for you. It's called the 4-Week Know Your Worth Study. When I launched my book back in 2015, my book, Know Your Worth, I had no idea that it would really impact as many women as it did. Over the last 5 years, I've had women message me and ask me if I was creating some kind of study. And for a long time, I just kind of brushed it off. I didn't think that it was time or the right season. And finally, this summer, well, summer of 2020, I decided it was time. So out comes in January this month, the 4-week Know Your Worth study, where it's all about restoring your faith and rebuilding the foundation of who you are. It's about going back to the basic questions about why God cares about you, what happened in the beginning, what happened on the cross, what happened after the cross, and what that means for us today. More than anything, it answers those questions like I started about why does God care about you? Is God disappointed in you? Why he loves you? And so many more feelings, I like to talk about feelings around here, that typically come in our day-to-day life as we experience things. So make sure you head to jessicahoddle.com/knowyourworthstudy and the link will be down below for you. Again, it's free from me to you and you do not have to buy my book, Know Your Worth, to read the study. You can do one, you can do the other, or you can do them both. Okay. Let's go ahead and dive in today's topic about learning to love your body. I think I need to be clear right off the bat about what this is not. I am not here to have some really cute phrase to tell you, hey, just learn to love your body, accept it for what it is. I'm not saying that those things are wrong, but it all matters about the context, right? What does it mean to love your body and to learn to be kind to it? I'm not coming from a self-proclaimed, you know, self-love kind of lie. And I've addressed what the self-love lie is, and I'll make sure to include that in the show notes below. But this is really about learning to love the body you have. And that comes from learning about the Father who created it, period. There is nothing else to add to that. The more we know about God, the more we know about ourselves. This all stems back to the root of our identity. This has nothing to do with what our bodies look like. It's the narrative that we believe about what our body looks like. That is what gets us in trouble. The enemy comes in and whispers, you're fat, you're ugly, nobody will love you, you're never going to lose this weight, you might as well just keep dieting. And then all these defeated feelings come in and you just say, what's the point? Why should I keep going? John 15, 4-5 says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Apart from him, we cannot learn to be kind and loving towards ourselves. Before we accepted Jesus as our Savior, our nature was to sin. We were one in one with the enemy. He had control over us because we had a sinful nature. We were not yet reconciled to God to have God's nature. We didn't have it. Then when we accept Jesus, we get God's nature. That doesn't mean that we do not sin. It means that we no longer have a sin nature. We might have a sin habit, but not the nature. We have the nature of God, the nature of Christ. That means that if I live apart from him, I can wither and I can die, so to speak. You know, we think about our soul, which is our mind, will, and our emotions, and how much our soul dictates what we believe, how we see in this world, and most importantly, how we see our bodies. Our identity in Christ goes hand in hand with how we view and how we treat our bodies. Where we try to get our worth from reveals to us how empty or full our soul is. I've talked about the soul a lot, and I'll be talking about it a lot in my 4th book, but to really begin to understand the impact that our mind and our thoughts have, right? are so powerful because it is what we get to experience in this world. We cannot separate the view of our bodies between the view of Christ. We are made in His image. That means that we were created in His image. That means that we look like our Father. We cannot separate the two. If we do, we will get what the world gives us and the fruit of it. So we will get the fruit of the world. When we try to take our external environment and make it our God to change our internal environment, it's really frustrating. It can be kind of this lonely road almost feeling. But to remember that every time we take something from the external and try to change our internal, we're only going to get more of the world. Now, let's talk about this maybe a little more practically, what I mean by external, internal. When we think about it's just about the food, when we think about it's just about the workouts or just about the books I read or whatever, right? We base it on our actions. What action can I take to change the way that I feel inside? And therefore, we're trying to change from the outside in. I'm not saying that our actions can't help us to begin to move in new directions, because scripture talks about faith without works is dead. And it also goes on to say, I will show you my faith by my works. So works are important. However, our heart posture from those works are what matter the most. God doesn't make you choose Him. He says, I am here if you need me and want me, because with love, it requires choice. Learning to believe that you have a good body is knowing that you have a good Father. Let's start in 1 Corinthians 13:1-8. This context of that Paul is talking about is in the context of spiritual gifts. And I love how he throws this in, because if we're not using our gifts and we're not using with our actions this expression of love, it talks about how we become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. Basically, we're just making noise. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. When we do things from our actions, when we try that diet, when we try the next diet, when we get on the scale, when we have these hopes, when we look in the mirror and we just wish for those things to change, we become noise in the world. I want you to think about the last time that, you know, you looked in the mirror or you stepped on the scale and it really changed your soul. Meaning it changed how you looked at the world. It changed how you looked at your kids or your husband or your best friend. Now, don't listen to what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that if you lost weight, you wouldn't find more joy in playing with your kids or being able to have date nights with your husband. That is what I'm not saying. This is all comes down to the heart posture of which we view our bodies. Paul goes on to write in 1 Corinthians, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. It does not matter what you do in your body. If you do it out of striving, if you do it for an external response, if you do it for self-gratification, when it comes down to learning to love our bodies, we will be doing the expression of love towards ourselves. Because if we do not have love, then we have nothing. And it's not our definition of what love looks like, because how many of us know that our love gets really blurry and it gets really cloudy? Our love, our definition of love can look like expectations. It can look like disappointments. Paul goes on to continue to say, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Therefore, all these things that I can do, but if I do not show love, it still profits me nothing. I can eat all the right foods. I can try that food. I can try this. I can move my body. I can lose the weight. But if I do not express kindness, patience towards myself, it will profit me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. It does not envy. It does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And guess what? Love never fails. again, you know, Paul's talking about spiritual gifts, but you can also see how he's talking about all these actions that I do. It will not matter if I do not have love. If I'm not coming from a place of kindness, if I'm not coming from a place of envy, do you envy other bodies? Do you move your body because you envy other bodies? Do you wish to learn to love your body because you keep looking at her body thinking your body is bad and hers is good? So I talked about how we want to be the expression of love. Love is an emotion, but love is also a person. And therefore, we want to make sure that we understand what God's view of love is and how we are going to partake in that in our body. The next thing I want us to think about in this whole context of learning to love your body is we, in the Old Testament, we used to visit the temple of God. God created this temple with so much detail and so many things that they needed to do to build this correctly. It was a place for the holies. It was a place for the Holy of Holies. It was this place for the priests to go. And only certain people could go, could visit it and be there. However, it was always a place that people could see that is where God dwells. That is his tabernacle. That is his temple. Right? That is where God will be. It was this visual representation of the Father. And guess what? Your body now becomes that temple. When the veil was torn from top to bottom and you became reconciled, you then became one with God. You no longer have sin because sin cannot partake with God because God is sinless. Therefore, you cannot have your spirit cannot have sin. Or else God would not exist within you. The temple, your temple, is now where you do warfare and worship. This place that we once used to physically see in the distance is now this place that we see in the mirror. It's the place where you and the Holy Spirit commune together. Your body is what you physically see now. You and God have merged as one. See, your body is more than the food that you eat. It's more than the workouts that you do. How we view our body stems from how we view ourselves, which stems from our relationship with the Father. Since your body is the temple now, that means that living in your good body is where the good God dwells. It's where a good God dwells. Do you hear that? If we believe that God is good, therefore, our body is good. We cannot separate the two because he's in us. But how many times do we do that? We separate, my body isn't good, but God, you're good. If God is good and he is in you, right? You guys are partnering, you're in communion with each other. That means that your body is good. 1 Corinthians 6:17-20. It says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside of his body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The context of this scripture is sexual immorality. But I also want you to take careful notice that this is how we use our bodies. Using our bodies to fulfill the lusts of the flesh and searching for intimacy that can only be filled by God and not man. Sexual immorality is how we use our bodies. Having sex, we use our bodies, right? And often we quote this scripture because it's saying, do you not know? Paul is saying, do you not know how valuable you are? Who is inside of you, the power that you have, the authority that you have, what he says about you, what he calls you, like, do you not know the price that Jesus paid for the things that you get to do and how you get to live? Your desire to love your body is a longing to truly love and know the Father who created it and said it was good. Because why? Because he is good. He's the object of our affection, not our bodies. Okay, to kind of wrap this podcast episode up about learning to love your body, I'm going to ask you some questions because, well, you know, my heart is to ask you questions and to get you to think a little bit deeper about the conversation that we're having, because this whole podcast formed by just wanting to challenge the way you think to change the way you live. Number one, are you worshiping your body or the one who made your body? Number two, why do you think you desire to love your body? Where does this idea come from? What do you think it will solve? Number three, is there an end? Do you get to a place where it's not about your body, but about what you and your body do with Christ? Think about that. Is there ever an end? There will be attacks that come to your mind that will constantly want to try to tell you how sick you are, how ugly you are, all these things. The more that you know Christ is the more that you'll be able to hear the enemy's lies, period. We don't know the truth unless we know the truth. When we know the truth, then we can tell the lies. Number four, many women, I believe, are searching to find the answers to love their bodies. But is it an illusion or a distraction? Number five, what does loving your body mean and look like in everyday life? This podcast episode was nothing more than to challenge the way that you're viewing your body. I care about you way too much for you to continue to look at yourself in the mirror and think thoughts apart from how the Father truly sees you and knows you to be. Remember, we cannot separate the two. Our body is good. We have to renew our mind to believe this because maybe you've heard just too many things about it, too many lies spoken over the years that you just have begun to believe that they're true. But most importantly, I want you to remember God is good, therefore your body is good. If you want to revisit those questions, go ahead and head to the show notes. That will be in the link below. Make sure you go over those questions. Ask them. Ask them to yourself. And then answer them. Answer them honestly. Don't be afraid to just ask deeper questions. Get to the root of why do you believe the way that you believe. Be willing to go to the hard places. God is good, and so is your body. Have you ever felt like you aren't good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, thin enough, strong enough, worthy enough, or doing enough? If so, then my book, Know Your Worth, is for you. It's not uncommon to feel inadequate, whether it's issues surrounding your career, relationships, or finances. You will discover gems to apply to your own life as I take you through my journey of how I was able to overcome pain by realizing my worth wasn't tied into things or people, but God. In my book, Know Your Worth, I will show you how to stop settling for relationships that do nothing but cause you pain, how to refuse to settle for anything less than God's best for your life, and how to recognize that no matter what your past looks like, it doesn't have to be your future. Go to jessicahoddle.com/books to get a copy of Know Your Worth today.